The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Friends, welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike. It is my pleasure today to be joining you from the Shepherd Studios in Orlando, and on the line with me, the president and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida, Dave Krepko. Nice to have you on the phone, Dave.
It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, it's so great to talk to another brother that is in the community and working hard. And, you know, what you do on a day-to-day basis is so important. I'm looking forward to hearing the details of how all of that began. But let's begin with you, Dave. Tell us a little bit about yourself. From what part of the country do you come to Central Florida from?
Well, most recently, my wife and I moved down from Chicago 17 years ago. And we lived there for about 3 to 4 years. And then we lived in South Florida, in Plantation, Florida, just, you know, part of Fort Lauderdale, for about 18 years, where we brought up our family.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, lived in Toronto for 9 to 10 years and grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania. So I've been around.
Yeah, you have in Pennsylvania. And that is in the frozen, chosen, cold northeast. My goodness.
Yeah.
A lot different in South Florida and Central Florida than what they have right there.
Exactly. So Central Florida's home now. So
that's
great,
wonderful
place to be.
Tell me about your meeting the Lord. At what point of your life did that happen?
Well, interesting journey. You know, I'll keep it short. I grew up in a very Catholic household and went to Catholic elementary school. So grew up as an avid churchgoer and taught great discipline as well by a bunch of Catholic nuns. And then after that, you know, moved away from the church for a while through college and through my early years working. And then when my wife and I moved to South Florida, we found a church home there that was really special to us. And through that, there was a program for women and a program for men. And the name of it is Christ Renews His Parish. And it's basically a retreat over a long weekend. And that was a life-changing moment for me in my spiritual walk. So that I was in my 30s at that point and really felt the presence of God and the Lord. I met some incredible people through that church, and the transition there, you know, this from a career-wise, there's a real connection here. I was originally in the advertising agency business, so mm-hmm. I've gone from the dark to the light,
yeah.
so to speak. And when I was in the ad agency business, we were attending this church home, and I met a couple of guys, and they were on the founding board of directors for the food bank in Miami. And they said, "Hey, Dave, why don't you, as a volunteer, join the board of directors of the food bank?" So that was a really neat connection there. I'll continue the story if I can, though. It's interesting how this happened. Kind of flows. So my friend Joe, you know, one of the founders of the food bank, said, "Dave, you know, come down, join the board." And I said, "No, Joe, I didn't know anything about hunger. And, you know, I'm really busy and bringing up the kids and everything." And he asked me 3 times and I said, no.
Hmm.
And then on the 4th time, he said, "Just get in the car with me and come down to a board meeting and observe." So he was a dear friend. So I did that. And I'm sitting there just observing and listening to the conversation at the board meeting. And, you know, there's a local county judge, a food industry executive, a CPA, an attorney, a doctor, you name it. And they're all, you know, there's no egos at the table. They're, you know, having this very robust conversation. And on the way back home in the car with my friend Joe, I said, now I know I really don't belong. So I had to get whacked between the eyes by a 2x4. I did join the board, okay?
That's right. Well, you had a very persuasive friend. he really saw something that was of good value in you, my man.
Yeah, so I joined the board, and lo and behold, I found that as I was in the advertising business, I was, you know, looking for this client that truly was unique, you know, that had a great story behind, you know, its value proposition and all this from a business point of view. And when I got to know the food bank, I said, wow, this is the client, so to speak, I've been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because the concept of food banking is so pure. And if you're doing it right, it is so powerful. I liken food banking to like a diamond, that you see a diamond and you hold it in your hand you go, wow, that is beautiful. And then you turn it slightly and you see another facet of it. And then you turn it again and you see another beautiful facet. Well, I liken that to food banking, that it has these different facets to it that are just, I'd say, so pure and so right and make so much sense. And when you combine it, it's an incredible cause. It's an incredible mission. So as a board member, I started to help them in a number of ways of raising money for the organization, and we were successful in doing that. And then, so I was on the board for about 5 years, and in 1992, Hurricane Andrew hit South Florida.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And it just devastating for folks that are listening that might have been through that. And at that time, 2 weeks after the hurricane hit, our founding director of the food bank resigned.
Mm.
So they were without a captain. And I got a call on a Saturday morning by the board chair. Three of us got together around his kitchen table and said, boy, somebody's got to go in the interim, you know, short term, to hold down the ship. Dave.
There you go.
I said, Dave who? You know? So another long story short, I was in a position, I said, I can do that for a month, month and a half. And went in, and amidst all the insanity of disaster relief and, you know, the craziness of it, and the incredible demand, it just felt right.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe I was literally put there by the hand of God. And he said, Dave, this is where you belong.
Mm.
And that was 29 years ago.
Wow.
And it has changed me personally, professionally, spiritually. I mean, in all facets, in such a positive way. And what I explain to people or tell people, I say, if you can find that intersection of your unique God-given abilities and talents with one of society's great needs, amazing power can come out of that. And you no longer have a job, you have a calling.
Mm-hmm.
You have a vocation. And it is just magical, and it's so powerful how that works. And to be able to, over the years, recruit and hire people and train them and to see them develop, it's just, it's a 1+1=3. And, you know, we find that the community wants, people want to make a difference in their communities. Mm-hmm. They just have to be given a way to connect. So it's been an incredible journey. Probably a real long answer to your question, but
no, I love that story. And what you said is so true, that if a person can find that thing that is not only fulfilling to all of the boxes that they've got in their heart that they would like to do, but has that greater sense of purpose, and as you said, a calling, that is going to end up with one satisfied and, I believe, a heart that is truly contented with the Lord because of the fact that we're doing something that is meaningful, and you have a sense at the end of the day, you're doing something that's really making a difference. Now, when you talk about being baptized in fire with this Hurricane Andrew, I remember that. That was about 7 years after my family moved to Orlando from Indiana. Okay. And so I remember well the day that that was hitting and then the aftermath. It would really be difficult, wouldn't it, to try to describe the amount of destruction around Homestead and other areas down around that area.
Oh, yeah. I remember, you know, just one image that I'll never forget, going down to Homestead after it hit, and with a Marine general. The Marines had come in and, thank goodness, had restored order and some kind of peace, but went down there, and the city of Homestead was literally wiped off the face of the planet. And people who had homes there, lived there, and were able to escape, went back, and they couldn't even recognize the neighborhood because all the homes were gone, and all the street signs, all the trees, all the landmarks. It's like, you know, the atomic bomb went off and just cleaned everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I go on and on about stories, but yeah, quite a, like you say, baptism by fire. And what's fascinating, when I came to Orlando and accepted this job 17 years ago, 30 days after I was here, the four hurricanes hit Central Florida.
Oh, my goodness. That was the year of Floyd and Charlie.
Yeah, right. So I better not move again.
Man, it brings about a sense of calamity on a geographic scale when you move, man. That is crazy.
But, you know, what I found, I've been through all kinds of disaster relief over the years. And what I found, and especially when I got to Orlando here and it hit, you know, they had a new leader. I had a new staff, you know, and you want to get to know your team. And I'll never forget this one, I don't know how many folks know of Oswald Chambers, but
my utmost. Yeah.
Yeah. My utmost for his highest.
Yes.
I don't know how many times I've read that, but I was going through that, and there was one phrase, just three simple words, that summed it up. And it said, "Crisis reveals character."
Mm-hmm.
And watching and working with a team after those four hurricanes crisscrossed Central Florida, I saw immediately what character there was in the team. And you see that actually in the broader population as well when a crisis hits, that, you know, some people step up and they respond, and then others, you know, go the other direction. And there's not much of a middle ground. Unfortunately, it takes a crisis to do that, you know, but I've learned so many lessons from the toughest times is when you learn the most. You may not realize it going through it, but in reflection, it is really, really clear to me.
You know, I think that is so true, what you've just said about the tough times, Dave, that no one ever really grows when it's a time of prosperity and everything's going right. It's the human nature just to kind of sit back and think, hey, this is pretty good. Yeah, let's coast a little bit. And
exactly.
I learned a long time ago that the only time you coast is when you're going downhill. That's the only time.
I like that. I want to use that.
You know, you never coasted up a mountain. You never did. It's always tough work. But those mountains, when you get on the top of them, you get a vista from there. It's just like any other type of view that you can get on top of the mountain. You can see for miles. And it just won't happen when you're down in Comfortville in the valley. It just does not happen. But you've seen more than your share of these kinds of disasters. Now, along with that, we're talking about natural disasters that bring about shortages and people in crisis. But now you, on a daily basis, are dealing with much more of what would be termed perhaps as family crises, where people have lost their job, people are in need, maybe they're underemployed, and they're in need of work. And tell us how the food bank works.
Yeah, the way Second Harvest works, we're set up to collect all the surplus food that is perfectly edible, has not been served, but will be donated to us. And then we provide it to a network of partner feeding programs that then in turn give it to the individuals in need.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that in a 6-county area. We have a base here in Orlando. We have a branch in Brevard and Volusia County. But we serve Osceola County, Seminole, and Lake County, as well as Brevard and Volusia. But we have 550 partner feeding programs in our network. And they range from very, very small volunteer-driven organizations like emergency food pantries to larger, well-established ones like, say, the Salvation Army and everybody in between. So we gather all the surplus food and then we redistribute it to them. Now, the way we've done that has changed over the years, and we really believe in innovation and for the purpose of really leveraging the donated dollars we receive to get to the most people and the people in need. And we've been doing that over the years, and COVID relief has just been a time that is ripe for innovation. So here's another silver lining, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, any business that hasn't been able to be flexible and pivot, you know, their business model or innovate really suffered during the pandemic and still suffering. Many went out of business.
Mm-hmm, they sure did.
Yeah, we had to innovate as well and on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just incredible the volume of food that we're distributing. So since March of 2020, we have been distributing, on average, daily, enough food for 300,000 meals.
Wow. Unbelievable. Hey, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break right now. I'm talking to Dave Krepko. He is president and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank in Central Florida. I'll be back with Dave in just a moment. This is The Shepherd. Really honored to have on the line Dave Krepko. He's president and CEO at Second Harvest Food Bank in Central Florida. Dave, just at the end of segment one, gave an amazing stat. It's hard to get our brain around the kind of amount of food that you guys are providing right now. But if I heard you right, over 300,000 meals, but not a week, right? Not a week.
Right.
A day.
Right.
That is just mind-boggling to think about the amount of resource that it would take and the amount of coordination that it takes. And like you said a while ago, you've got people, you've got different lines that you serve alongside and different tiers of distribution to get this food out into the hands. But there's got to be a massive amount of administration that would go into 300,000 meals a day.
Yeah, it may be greater than the collective McDonald's in our area.
Unbelievable. Now, you talked about the impact that COVID has brought. And earlier in the segments, we were talking about, you know, it's understandable when we think about hurricanes coming in. I think of that Hurricane Andrew and what it did to Homestead. And we think about the disaster that happened with the earthquake in Haiti a number of years ago. And just the utter destruction, really, of resources. But when you have this kind of a thing, COVID has never been really tasted in the way that it's been for Americans this past year. And it has brought with it its own storm and devastation, hasn't it?
Oh, certainly. And everybody, nobody excluded, has been impacted to some degree. You know, the Central Florida community is particularly hard hit because we are heavily tourism-based. And, you know, I remember the day that Disney World shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Disney World just does not shut down. You know, that doesn't happen, right?
Except for a hurricane or something like that, but you're right.
Right. And when that happened, all the theme parks, you know, closed, that means all the hotels, you know, that are, I mean, I think there's over 80,000 hotel rooms in Central Florida. All the workers who work in the restaurants, wash the dishes, the line cooks, the people who clean the hotel rooms, you know, all those, the rental car companies, all those companies that are just related just to tourism, represents hundreds of thousands of people. In the 6-county area that we serve, we did a study on number of people and that are in need of help, and it's approximately 500,000 people. That, you know, that is just incredibly high. And if you take a deeper dive into that, it's like 1 in 4 kids are food insecure. They really don't know where that next meal is coming from. And about 40% of the people that are receiving this emergency help now are folks that never had to ask for it before in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are working people that lost their jobs through no fault of their own, and you know, weren't making a lot of money, and were kind of fragile, you know, economically. And when it goes into long-term unemployment, you got real issues. So there was a lot of people that were kind of on the fence and kind of fragile financially. And when this hit, it just put them over on the wrong side of that fence for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we literally had tens and thousands. Well, we've had about 100,000 searches since March 2020 on our website for food. We have a food finder button.
Mm-hmm.
And calls on top of that, and just the stories that we hear of people calling in that they all, you know, they're embarrassed that they have to ask for help, but they're at their wit's end. You know, they cannot find a job, and they've gone through their savings.
Mm-hmm.
And they almost sound apologetic in their embarrassment that they're asking for food. You know, and we say, hey, folks, we're here for you. You know, we had folks calling us that previously donated to us, right?
Wow.
So it's and then we've had people that we've helped. They've gotten their jobs back, and now they're donating to us. You know, people are just incredibly grateful for the support. So it's unprecedented. This is not a sprint for us at the food bank. This is a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take months until unemployment is back at a decent level, low level, to really help. But with this pandemic, the pandemic's done so much, but it really laid bare some of the vulnerabilities and the issues that we have in our community. And I'll give you one example of that. Prior to the pandemic, we in Central Florida have had an lack of affordable housing crisis. I believe Orlando ranked in the top three in the United States for that. Mm. And when you combine lack of affordable housing with relatively low wages, you have a double whammy there. And lots of folks just aren't in strong financial shape. There was a study done by the United Way of all working households in the state of Florida working, and this is pre-pandemic, that about 45%, 47% of the working households in the state of Florida were struggling to pay the mortgage or rent, buy food, medicine, you know, and some kind of transportation. And about 80% of those folks did not have $400 in a checking account for any kind of an emergency.
Mm.
So pandemic comes and bam, you know, it's like throwing gasoline on a fire. So coming out of this pandemic, you know, my hope and prayer is that we can really start focusing on some of these, you know, really huge issues that we have in our community, and that we can work together with local government, the faith-based community, the corporate world, private individuals, other nonprofits, more systemically rather than individually. You know, I think that's going to be part of the future, to work much more together, and I think we can go much, much further.
You know, I think back to a year ago in March, and we were all told back then that it was going to be for a 2-week period, and it was going to be a tightening of the belt, and that people just needed to flatten the curve. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason that so many people were willing to do what needed to be done and abide by those, you know, they weren't just requests, they were more orders, that people shut their doors and shutter their businesses. This kind of need for people who are in the kind of dire straits that you're describing, that has to be a very difficult solution to sustain, doesn't it? It sounds like it's impossible.
Yeah, it is extremely challenging for those individuals to sustain it, you know, financially, spiritually, physically, and mentally, you know. We know that there's a lot of high stress out there, and people who are, you know, that there's a lot of mental illness that exists out there to varying degrees. But when you put anybody under this kind of stress, it tests all of us, you know, every one of us. We all feel it. You know, from my staff point of view, and, you know, I'm so concerned about burnout, you know, and fatigue. And so we've implemented a few things, you know, during this COVID relief to try to take some of that stress off of them, because we have to stay strong in order to really fulfill our mission, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's been an incredible experience, let me tell you.
Well, I tell you, I'm hoping that it's over sooner than later, and that whatever this new normal that we can get to, trusting that it happens. Are you seeing, you've already mentioned about some of the people that you actually helped this last year, that they've started working again, and now they're turning around and paying back the goodness and the grace that was given to them. They're paying that forward again. And so are you seeing wholesale encouraging signs that this pandemic is slowing down?
Not yet. Not from our perspective.
Mm.
We aren't, you know, the folks that, you know, that have donated to us, that have received help, you know, there's no great wave of that, but I think it's very encouraging, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It shows that some people are getting back on their feet. What's really interesting with the loss of all these jobs, you know, as a nonprofit organization, we said, man, we need more financial resources to respond, right, in much greater ways. Because if you have no money, you have no mission. You know, I don't care how good of an idea you mm-hmm. have. And we were super concerned. Well, I have to tell you, this Central Florida community is incredibly generous. And we've had, you know, the corporate citizens, you know, step up for us to help support us. We've had local governments step up to financially help us. We received some of the CARES Act funding from, you know, through the federal government. And we have received from private individuals in Central Florida that still have their jobs really step up. And, you know, I call a number of these donors to thank them personally. And, you know, a common response is that, hey, we are so blessed as a family, and we don't have the financial issues, and we don't have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to pay back. We want to, you know, we want to see, you know, these other folks get through this storm. And boy, I tell you, that's, you know, that is such an inspiration to myself and my team that they have the trust in us, and that we're receiving some large financial donations from people that we've never met.
Mm.
And a lot of them just want to stay anonymous. I mean, it's incredible what's happening behind the scenes like that.
It's almost like a loaves and fishes story that God is just bringing in wave after wave of resource sources. And this need is being met somehow by the grace of God. And it's got to be almost like watching a daily miracle.
Oh, my goodness. Is it ever? Wow. You know, one thing I'd like to bring up, it just reminded me when you just said the loaves and fishes. A lot of people don't know where the name Second Harvest came from. Or some people say, where did you come up with Second Harvest Food Banking? Well, if you go back to the book of Leviticus, it talks about the local farmers, that it says to leave the outer perimeter of your crop for the poorest of the poor in your village
mm-hmm.
so they can come in and do a second harvest.
Yes, like the gleaning, like kind of doing the final picking.
Yep.
Wow.
So that's very much alive and well today.
And, you know, in some ways, it's such an abundance that is being done in that second harvest for what you guys are doing, that it's almost hard to get around. That just goes to show you the amount of grace that God gives. We've got so much resource out there that the second harvest could be as plentiful as it is and meet 300 plus thousand meals a day. That's just mind-boggling to realize the difference. And you think about, Dave, this is, to me, a scary thought, but knowing how vast your work is throughout Central Florida, imagine what it would be like for all of those families were it not for your organization.
Yeah, that's that occurs to me. It is incredibly humbling role for all of us. It is the amount of responsibility, accountability. You know, we have values, food bank values that we adhere to in terms of accountability and transparency, respect for our neighbor. And we, you know, we need to live by those as a food bank family. Because I remind our board of directors and our staff, you know, when we get some big donations in, it's a reminder. I said, you know, this is not our money. this is the community's money, and we are, you know, we are the vehicle to do and execute the good works with it. So we have to stretch every dollar, and really watch out for that. It's stewardship of resources.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you guys are being faithful. I so appreciate what you're doing at Second Harvest Food Bank. We'll be back one more time with Dave Krepko. You're listening to Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Honored to have on the line today Dave Krepko, President and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank. And it has really been amazing to see the impact that a man's vision. And you know, when I go back to the beginning of your story and that first statement that you made about looking for a client. That's what you were doing when you were in the advertising business. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. They are looking for that one additional client or that one breakthrough in their job that would just mean everything from a standpoint of fulfillment and just the satisfaction of getting to do what you want to do. And I think that's something that we can all identify with. I'm not sure the percentage of the people who are working ever really hit that. But it is clear to me, Dave, that you hit that mark when this concept of working with a food bank. And ironically, in the beginning, it was something that you walked into rather reluctantly, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, sometimes we think that what we see in front of us is not going to be that that kind of like that field of gold that really the Lord has given us. But for you, he dropped this right in your lap and you took it up. And it's no wonder to me, sir, that you were named Central Floridian of the Year in 2009 by the Orlando Sentinel. Now, that's quite an honor. If my wife declared me that, I think that would be very great. I'd love that. But to be called that by the Orlando Sentinel, that's got to be for you a breathtaking thing that they did for you and a very humbling thing as well.
Yeah, I still have to wash the dishes and take the garbage out, though.
Yes, but I do believe that it is an honor that, boy, they got it right, my man, because you're doing a wonderful work. Tell me about this, the food bank that you're working that would be called, it's beyond Central Florida now. Your work goes well beyond our area and the work that you've done in the past with this program called Feeding America. Tell us about that.
Right. Just before I do, I do want to make a comment on Central Floridian of the Year. I truly believe it's a testament to the entire team. I just happen to be the more visible person. Mm. Nobody does this on their own. It is a collective effort. So, you know, I that's just a tribute to the entire team. So Feeding America, let me shift to answer your question. So here we are in Second Harvest in Central Florida. We reach six counties, right? And then there's a national organization called Feeding America, and they're based in Chicago, and they are the nation's largest domestic hunger relief organization. And they have 200 members across the United States, of which we are one. And these food banks differ in size and complexity and nature, depending on the markets we're in, right? You might have New York City, Los Angeles, Houston, and then you have very, very rural food banks as well, and everybody in between. So it's this collection of food banks. Feeding America physically does not distribute food. They don't touch the food. But what they do is they have the relationships with the national offices of the major food companies. So when you go down a grocery aisle, all those major food manufacturers, Feeding America is working with them to draw down food donations for its 200 members across the country.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, Feeding America will raise money from these national corporate and individual foundations, and provides a portion of that to their members to do more mission. And then they collectively get together and we share best practices of how do you raise money? How do you work with the board of directors? How do you do strategic planning? How do you recruit volunteers? All in operations, all that stuff. And it's the most amazing group of people I've ever been associated with across the country. Everybody wants to share their knowledge, like paying it forward, right? Mm-hmm. So we learn so much from each other. So with Feeding America, we do have a contract with them that we will adhere, that we must adhere to a very high level of operational standards. And what that means, you know, is your inventory has to be in line, your food safety standards, the way you handle money, the reserves that you have, all those different criteria that really is like the good housekeeping seal of food banking. So it takes a lot to become a member. But as a member, we are totally independent. So we have our own board of directors. We call all our own shots locally. It's quite a wonderful relationship the way that works, because collectively, 200 members across the country solves a very big problem for the food industry. We take all that excess food that they cannot sell, and we find a home for it and people that are in need. And at the same time, those companies get a tax deduction for their charitable contributions. They get to be part of a solution to, you know, food insecurity that we have in this country. So it really works truly as a win-win. Before I came down to Central Florida, I worked at the National Office of Feeding America in Chicago for 4 years. So I've seen it from the national standpoint of how all this works. And I was able to come down here 17 years ago to apply a lot of that to our local level. So, you know, that's a relationship with Feeding America. It's, you know, it works well. They also raise awareness of the hunger issue nationally to make people aware across the country that there is a need. The general public doesn't realize it. And the other thing, you take a Publix and a Walmart and those kinds of companies. In addition, they are providing millions of dollars worth of donations to food banks. Hmm. So it's incredible corporate support. Our local theme parks are phenomenal supporters. Darden restaurants, great supporters. The you know, Bank of America and other banks and corporations. It's I think just about everybody gets it. You know, food is a basic need, and you need food to survive. Literally, kids need the food in order to stay healthy so they can learn, you know, and if you can't learn, you can't earn as an adult. Senior citizens need that food to, you know, to stay vibrant. And all these working families need a little bit of help, you know, to help balance that budget.
I believe we're praying that will happen as people hear these stories, that it will create a different kind of hunger in all of us, a hunger that God would open up to us, a fulfillment that I believe He has opened up to you. And this, it's really an encouraging story to hear you tell about the many things that God is doing through Second Harvest, and what a wonderful ministry this is.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about what you would like to see happen in the next, let's say, 5 years, if you had your wish, and what kind of growth would you like to see happen? What things would you like to see change in our country that would make what you deal with on a daily basis better?
Yeah, you know, our work as a food bank is continues to develop and evolve. And in our future plan, and we're doing some of this work right now, is we're going to continue to do what we do well. We're not going to abandon that, but it's kind of a yes and. What we're, you know, for decades, we've been providing the food for today, that emergency food, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to do that. But we've added a second wave of work direction. And in addition to feeding the line of people, we want to shorten the line of people that need food.
Mm.
So that is different work. And that is going further upstream to what are the root causes of hunger. So hunger is just a symptom of greater problems. So we have focused on four areas of these root causes, because somebody who's hungry is just not hungry. There are other things going on in their lives, and we have to look at this more holistically.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at four root causes, and this is where I see the future of the food bank really focusing much and much more on. I think we're in a position to take some leadership in this and be an incredible collaborator in the community. So we're looking at jobs and income, right? So what can a food bank do about that, right? So what we've started already, and we're going to do more of it, that we started a culinary training and job placement program where we're taking low-income individuals and homeless people, 16-week curriculum, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, no cost to them, teaching them culinary and life skills and placing them into jobs at graduation. So we've placed 350 people into jobs, and they're paying decently. Some of them are getting increases. And there is so much talent wasted in this country. People just need an opportunity to make a connection and some help in job training. College isn't necessarily for everybody, right?
That is right.
We've started a distribution center training program modeled like the culinary, where we teach forklift certification, inventory control, materials handling, all that, and place those graduates into distribution centers. So jobs and income is one area that we can play a part in, and a bigger part. Another area is in the area of health, which is enormous, that food is medicine. And we are working closely with the healthcare industry, not only with the major hospital systems here in Central Florida, health insurance companies, the individual health clinics and doctors and physicians. And we're working together in creating programs looking at food as medicine.
Mm.
Because if you have a healthier population, you have a more productive, better learning population, and you also reduce healthcare costs, and it's a whole dignity issue as well. So we see a lot more of that work being done. And then we have education as another root cause. And we are now involved with every level of education and food in some way, from the Head Start programs that deal with kids from 0 to 5 years old, to elementary schools, middle and high schools, and university pantries now. And we can go much deeper into being a partner with the educational system.
Mm.
And then the fourth area is affordable housing. Now, what's a food bank going to do there? We're not going to become another Habitat for Humanity. They do a good job, okay?
Right.
We're not going to become a residential home developer. But what we want to do is start conversations with the folks that are in that affordable housing area and say, how can we, Second Harvest, come alongside you, with you, with our resources and our connections to help these folks that are searching for affordable housing? Or maybe have found it and how can we come alongside them? So we're starting those conversations, and they're very encouraging, you know, that we can do things. You know, we found out that one of our culinary graduates was a Habitat for Humanity homeowner.
Wow.
And now we're supplying the groceries. We're filling the kitchen pantry cupboards for every new Habitat for Humanity homeowner. So,
wow.
So we're looking. So that's a big part of the future direction of what we're doing. And it comes down to working much more in coalitions with a lot of like-minded souls, you know.
You guys are doing a great job. We're out of time, but I have so enjoyed talking to you, Dave. Thank you for what you're doing. You're a food bank and so much more. I tell you, I'm so grateful that I've gotten to talk with you. And thanks again on behalf of all of us, a grateful community, for what the food bank at Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida is doing. God bless you.
All right. Thank you so much.
And friends, thank you for being with me, too. I appreciate that. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.